In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with Louisa and the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 3. And we are on page 7, the middle of the page. So Jesus begins and he says to Louisa, "This life, this divine life of the most holy divine will, shall have the virtue of transforming the life of this fortunate creature into itself." So here Jesus is talking, first of all, of Louisa. And he's saying to Louisa, you're going to be like me, Jesus, and my mother, the queen of heaven and earth. You're going to be like her. You're going to be like me. Why? Because the divine will, this life of the divine will, has the virtue of transforming your life into itself. So this is what God's been waiting for since the beginning of time. He created Adam to be in God's image and likeness. And now he's saying, I want you, Louisa, to have this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And if you have this life, it has the virtue of transforming you, transforming the life of this fortunate soul, Louisa Picaretta. And now for us who are reading the volumes, God wants to give us also the virtue of transforming the life that we possess now, this human, and we're going to enter into the divine. The human will no longer be of the fallen human nature, which Jesus says is evil. And he came down to earth to redeem us. Are they to co-redeem with him? And now he says, now I want you to have my life. Now he said this to the saints, and the saints learned how to do the will of God. But now with Louisa, what God has done for Louisa, now we're learning how to live in the will of God. And this transforms our life into itself, into sharing in divinity. This is what the priest does every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is not a devotional thing. It's not something that you do and then continue to live your life. No. It's to let go of the human misery, the human will, and to begin to live in God's most holy divine will. So we really go back to that first human life that God breathed into Adam. It was perfect. We begin to experience the perfect life of Mary, who never did her human will. She had the perfect human life. And now Jesus is saying to us, I want you to have my life, image and likeness. And the first one is Louisa, and now Jesus is saying to us, you can have it as much as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. So he says, therefore, my daughter, be attentive. And again, when we read the word be attentive, what Jesus is saying is that he wants us to read, to study, to put this into practice. Be attentive to what Jesus is saying. You know, you think of the apostles being around Jesus 2,000 years ago, and he would speak to them. And they would listen, and he'd speak to them. He'd speak to the disciples, to the crowds, in parables. But he would speak directly to the apostles. And can you imagine to be there to listen to Jesus, and where he's saying, "This is what I want. This is what I expect of you." And now, what Jesus is doing, he's doing this to us now. He's speaking directly to us as we read the 36 volumes. So Jesus says, be attentive to what I say. The Word of God, what the Word of God is. Jesus Christ, who speaks, Listen to me, he says. Be attentive to what I say. Put into practice what I've said. Learn how to do this. And that's why he keeps on saying to us, be attentive. Do not, he says, do not allow even one word on our fiat to escape you. Now Jesus says, each word that I speak to you is a divine life. Each word that I speak to you, Louisa, is a divine life. When you write this word down and people read it, they breathe in with their eyes. They breathe in with their ears. This abundant life, this word from the Word of God. And he says, it's a divine life that I give you. Don't let it escape you. So this is why when we read, when we study, when we put this into practice, we're attentive. It's not a novel. You just don't read it, la, 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 and you're done. No, what Jesus is asking is that he begin to live this life. Begin to embrace this life. So he says, because these are divine lives. These divine lives that we, Triune God, live inside other creatures. These divine lives lives inside the creatures. The Triune God, with this word, begins to live in you. You know, it's astonishing. We just had a day of recollection, and somebody who was new showed up, and he said to his wife, "These people are happy. Why are they so happy?" Again, when you read the volumes, knowing that Jesus is speaking to you, each page is filled with promises. Each page is filled with truths. And what that does is it touches your interior. You begin to experience the happiness of heaven. Why? Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus is teaching you. Jesus is helping you as a father. Jesus is helping you as a doctor. Jesus is helping you to grow in this word that Jesus has spoken. So he says, we, Triune God, live inside other creatures by that word that you breathe in. Don't allow even one word of our fiat to escape you, because they are divine lives. The value of one single word of on our fiat is so great that the whole creation, behind it remains. Let me just explain this one more time. That the value of one single word on our fiat is so great that the whole of creation, the creation is our work, while one word on our fiat is life. The life always costs more than all the works. So Jesus is saying, as he said, fiat lux, everything began. The whole of creation was so great. It's just the fiat lux. But how far it remains behind you. Why? Because the creation is a work of God. Okay? Look at the the vast universe, the stars in the sky, the ocean, the sun in the sky, excuse me. The whole of creation is all there with one fiat lux. How it remains behind. The work of creation is God's work, a work of God. He says, but you have to begin to understand this, that one word that Jesus Christ speaks on the fiat is life. And this life always costs more than all the works. So he's showing us, he's pleading with us, are you beginning to understand why you're happy when you read? I can always tell when somebody isn't reading. They're worried, they're fearful, they're anxious, they're complaining, they're negative, they're sinning. When you read the divine will, all of that disappears. Why? You really begin to live heaven. You're peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy, happy, and you're happy. The Lord looks at us and says, this is what I've got planned for you. This is why I created you, to begin to live this abundant life. being in the hospital and watching people who read while they're in the hospital, they're peaceful. But what can happen very quickly is once they stop reading and, you know, experiencing pain and suffering and loneliness, they become agitated. And that peacefulness disappears very quickly. But you, if you have the book and you're reading, as you read, what happens is the peace, the joy, the happiness is there. It might be fleeting at times, but it comes right back. Why? This is not an ordinary book. This is not a devotional book where you get your prayers done and then you're done. You can do what you want. No, this is something that's so magnificent that the church, Jesus says it's going to be a new light for his church, a new life for his church, where people will be spiritualized and divinized as they read. You see what's coming? He says it very, very clearly. One word on our fiat is divine life. Divine life always costs more than all the works. So he shows us, you know, we on earth, you know, save the whales, save the ocean, save the earth. Jesus says all of that is works. We should be saving children. Child is the life of God. It's infinite. For all eternity, that soul will live. And Jesus looks at us and he says, you know, help the children. Know me, the Lord God Almighty. Save the children. When you look at abortion, you say how horrible it is. But Mother Teresa said that the mother of abortion is contraception. And you look at zero population. In most countries, the lowest population in the United States ever. A child is a life of God. A turtle is a work of God. A dolphin is a work of God. An eagle is a work of God. An elephant is a work of God. A child is the life of God. Do you see why the devil doesn't want children? Again, I'll say it one more time. The humanae vitae was the test, and we failed it. It was saying, this is what human life is about. And we said no to Christ and his church. And because of that, zero population. You know, a friend of mine, she wanted no children. She got married. She wanted no children. And now what? She's in her 70s. Alone. Her husband's gone. No family. She's got friends, but they're all dying. You die alone. This is what you said to God. I want no children. And then there's those others who had one child. This is going to be my child. I'm going to take care of this child. And killed in a car accident. Alone. I'm going to be in charge of my life. Alone. We look at what Jesus is asking, and he's saying, everything that God does is a work, but the life of God is what he's calling us to understand. So he says, further, our love for Louisa, who received the sowing of our divine lives, is so great that as we, Triune God, speak to Louisa about our divine will, our eternal love pours over Louisa. Our eternal love leashes itself in feeling loved and then feeling loved, divinely loved in return. See, the divine will is all based on love. It's all I love you. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you to us. Every blade of grass is an I love you to us. Every drop of water is an I love you to us. Every snowflake is an I love you to us. And because of our fallen nature, because of our miserable human will being in charge, we can't hear, see, taste, touch any of the I love yous around us. But Jesus says, I made your senses to experience the I love you of God. So Jesus says this, our divine love for you who have the book of heaven, you who receive the sowing of our divine lives, is so great that when we, Triune God, speak to you in the writings about our divine will, our eternal love pours over you. Our divine love unleashes itself over you. And then God feels love, divine love, being returned to him. This is how we're to live. This is what it means to be in God's image and likeness. This is why you're going to go to heaven or hell by the way you've loved one another. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We go to purgatory, Jesus shows us, through the saints. For every angry word we said to another, every time we've gotten so annoyed with one another that there's a hatred in our hearts. We go to purgatory for a long time with every thought, every word, every deed. He knows everything. And he looks at us and he says, do you want to be free of all this? Do you really want to be free of all this? Come to me. He says, my labor is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke. This is the love of God. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, for I am gentle and loving of heart. This is the divine will, is to begin to live like Jesus did, a life of love. To begin to live like Our Lady lived, a life of love. This is what Luisa possessed. Beautiful little Luisa, filled with divine love. Jesus says the weight of the human gratitude of not being loved remains empty because we, Triune God, find Luisa, the one who divinely loves us with our divine love, not with a human love. And this has the virtue of making up for all the love that all the creatures should give back to us, Triune God, of burning all their evils and filling and shortening of the fillings and the shortenings of the greatest, and shortening the greatest distance. I'm sorry, it's dark in here. I can't read. Okay. Listen to what Jesus is saying. The weight of human gratitude of not being loved remains empty because we, Triune God, find Luisa, who loves us divinely. Luisa loves us with our divine love. And this love has the virtue of making up for all the love that all the creatures should have given us. And then, therefore, it burns all their evils and is filling and shortening the greatest distances. See, what's coming is the kingdom. The kingdom is not far. Remember Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. The kingdom is not far from you. And now he says, the kingdom is here because of Luisa. Are you beginning to live it? Are you beginning to find it? Are you beginning to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness? Are you filled with heaven? Or are you filled with hell? So he looks at us and he asks us, begin to live this abundant life. To our love, our divine love, Jesus says, finds in Luisa our divine refreshments, our divine revenges. So we love Luisa infinitely. Infinitely. We love Luisa infinitely. She's our refreshment. She restores to us all that has been taken away. How much God loves this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. She has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. We love Jesus and Mary through Luisa. This is what God is expecting from us, to learn how to do this. And then Jesus can say to us, we love you infinitely. But we are not satisfied in loving her by ourselves. We, Triune God, make Louisa loved by Mary, the celestial queen, more than a tender daughter, by the angels, by the saints, as their inseparable sister. We, Triune God, make Louisa loved by all of heaven, by the sun, the wind, the stars, the waves, the oceans, and by every person, past, present, and future. If you don't love Louisa yet, you haven't found Louisa. If you think Louisa's an old woman in bed, you haven't found Louisa. Jesus is really beginning to show us a new beginning through Louisa, to experience God through little Louisa. That's why he says, go to her. Go to Louisa. Why? Listen to her. What is Louisa? Is there anything of Louisa's? No. It's all of Jesus, all of Mary. Why do you listen to Louisa? You hear Jesus, you hear Mary. Why do you go to Louisa? To go to Jesus and to Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? Because she is the firstborn. She is the newborn of the divine will. That's little Louisa Picaretta. God's given her to us. Listen, she is their inseparable sister. We make Louisa be loved by heaven, the sun, the wind, by everyone. They feel in Louisa the divine strength and the divine virtue of our divine love. See, this is not human. They feel fortunate to love Louisa because Louisa is the bearer of divine joys for everyone, past, present, and future. So this is why Jesus says to us, go to Louisa. And don't think that you can live in the divine will separated from Louisa. Oh, Louisa's just the door. Now I possess everything. No. Louisa is the one who through her we get to know Jesus and Mary. The way she knows Jesus. The way she knows Mary. Don't think that you can do this on your own. I think that's the fatal mistake of a lot of people. They think, well, I have the books. I can do this now. No. Again, when we listen to Padre Bucci, what does he say? He says, the priest has to teach this. This is the first bread. The priest has to give this. This has to come from the church. If you don't have a priest, pray for one. Everybody I know that's prayed for a priest has gotten one. And, I mean, not individually, but the prayer group gets a priest. Why? This is God's plan. Don't Protestantize this gift of gifts. Please, don't do that. You insult God. Jesus says this, in our divine love and the content we feel are such that we, Triune God, call Louisa our consoler. This is one of the 2,200 titles of Louisa. Louisa, God's consoler. And our fiat, whom we keep on earth. Louisa, the consoler. God's consoler and God's fiat, who they keep on earth. The Triune God keeps on earth. Louisa, our depository. Everything that's found in Louisa is now can be given to us if we have Louisa, if we're linked to Louisa. All is ours within Louisa Picaretta. This is what Jesus is saying. He needs us to begin to understand that, again, if you see an old woman in bed, you haven't seen Louisa yet. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. Talk to Jesus about this. Talk to the Blessed Mother about this. Jesus, Mary, you called her our daughter. Our Lady says, you are my daughter. Jesus says, you are my daughter. You are the little newborn. Jesus, help me to begin to see Louisa as your little newborn. That's what Jesus is waiting for. That's what Jesus, he needs us to ask him. You call her the little newborn. I see an old woman. You have to begin to see with the eyes of Christ. You have to begin to see Luisa with the eyes of the Blessed Mother. That's why we pray the rosary. We get to see Jesus with Our Lady's eyes. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Mary. Listen to how they talk to Luisa. She's their little newborn. And then Jesus says, you're the tiny little mother of the tiny little children of the Holy Divine Will. How tiny are we compared to Luisa? Volume 35, 322, 1938. Then my adorable Jesus, returning for his short little visit, in all tenderness told me, my little daughter, see right there, my little daughter, Luisa Picaretta, my little daughter of my most holy divine will, as the soul decides to live in my will, all things change for her. Luisa, as you began to desire, you may decide to live in my most holy divine will. All things begin to change for you. You know what happens? The sun, the moon, the stars change for us. The leaves on the tree change for us. The blades of grass on the earth change for us. The flowers change for us. The birds change for us. The snowflakes change for us. Everything changes for us. Why? As we decide, one with Luisa, to live in the divine will, we begin to hear, see, smell, taste, touch the I love yous all around us. Everything becomes alive for us. You begin to experience heaven while on earth. You begin to, when you start praying the rounds, you begin to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God. You begin to enter into heaven while on earth. You're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. This is why God created us. He created us to begin to experience heaven on earth, as Jesus did. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. It's Jesus that is experiencing it. You're saying, Jesus, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, taste in my tasting, touch in my touching. I want you, Lord, to be my Lord and God and Savior and Master and King. And God says, good, get out of my way. Let me walk in your walking. Let me breathe in your breathing. Let me beat in your heart beating. When this is accomplished, it's a new beginning for everyone and everything. First of all, us. And then your family begins to live it. Why? Because you're living it. Your neighbors begin to live it. Why? Because you're living in it. Do you see what Jesus is doing? So he says this, our divine dominion invests Luisa. And now the divine dominion of God will begin to invest us. We make Luisa the dominator of everything. We become the dominator of everything as well. Why? That was Adam's job. That's what he was to teach his children, to be king of the earth. You know, the whole thing, save the earth. We command in the divine will. Again, if you haven't experienced the command, the power of the command prayer, it's because you haven't really listened to Luisa. Go to the command talk. I think it was August of 2014. Listen to that. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He's teaching us to begin to command. Why? It's not you. It's Jesus in you. Take my prayer, Jesus, and make it your command. And I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you, and I have confidence in you. I know that you're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I know you're going to take care of this. Lord, let it be done as you say. And that's what God's waiting for. He says very clearly, dominator of everything, dominator of God's divine strength, dominator of God's divine goodness, dominator of God's divine sanctity, dominator of God's divine light. Do you see why Jesus says you're going to see unheard of prodigies in the divine will? The saints didn't know about this. Why? They didn't have Louisa. We have Louisa. Great things are right around the corner. Great things are really right around the corner. And he's asking us to begin to experience this. You see what God's doing? He says this. Heaven and earth are hers, are Louisa's, by right. And then as we link ourselves to Jesus and Mary through Louisa to possess this gift, heaven and earth are ours by right. Again, nobody possesses this fully yet. The first one who will, as we read in the three appeals, will be the Holy Father. The new Eve, Louisa, the third Eve, Louisa, and the third Eve, Adam. Why the Pope? He has the keys to the kingdom. It's his job to open the door. And Jesus says to Louisa, you must be the key that the Holy Father will use. Once this happens, the new heavens and the new earth begin. Wow. Again, that's why Scripture says no eye has seen, no ear has heard to those who love God, what God's going to do for them. Then Jesus says this, and this is so amazing. He says, then we place in Louisa an atmosphere of security and an interminable, thank you, peace, nothing of good, nothing of health, nothing of beauty, nothing of the divine joys can be missing to Louisa. Interminable, I just said it just a minute ago. To this creature, Louisa, who lives in our holy divine will, everything belongs to her. Everything belongs to her. He loves us so much that he wants to restore to us that which Adam lost. It's all going to be given back to us. You have to understand this. We're going to live the life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary, and it's given to Louisa. This is why he says, nothing of good, nothing of health, nothing of beauty, nothing of the divine joy can be missing in you, Louisa Picaretta. Why? Because you live in our most holy divine will. Volume 35, 328, 1938. I can say that my greatest pain down here that gave me, Jesus, a continuous death was to see that the creatures neither living in my most holy divine will nor doing the most holy divine will, because he says, I, God, saw that my acts remained without the purpose for which I, God, was doing them, without giving life with which way they were invested. He did everything that he did was to give to us. Okay, now let's think of what Jesus did. When Jesus gazed, he says, I did this because I was going to give this life of Jesus' gazing to those who wanted it. Now, because of Louisa, we can say, Jesus gazed in my gazing. The purpose of Jesus' gaze is now completed. In this one act, never stop do your acts and your rounds in the divine will. He says, never lose a moment. Listen, Jesus, listen in my listening. As Jesus listened, I want you, Lord, now to listen in my listening. I want to complete this act that you, Lord, have done. You invested it with your life. I want you now to invest this hearing, your hearing in my hearing, your beating in my heart beating, your breathing in my breathing, your walking in my walking. Jesus says this was his greatest pain. This was his continuous death, to see that souls were not living in God's holy divine will, nor doing it. So the saints have been doing the will of God for the last 2,000 years. And now he says, I want my children to live in my divine will. I saw that my acts remained without the purpose for which I was doing them, and without giving the divine life with which they were invested. And if I, God, were not all-seeing, seeing all the centuries in one present act, as well as my beloved children who are going to live in my most holy divine will, that's us. He saw us 2,000 years ago who were going to live in his holy divine will, and who had to use all that my holy humanity did and suffered in order to establish my kingdom, using it as the most beautiful residence. I could not have borne such a great pain. He saw us. He saw us wanting to live in the divine will. He saw us doing the divine will. And again, he could endure the people he was around 2,000 years ago. He can see everyone living in the divine will in the new era. And he's asking us, would you work with Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? Will you constantly be repeating that? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth, this dust, me, as it is in heaven. You remember, man, that thou art dust, and dust thou shalt return. And this dust, breathe in me, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of this dust. I want you, Lord, to recognize your image and likeness in this dust. May your kingdom come and remain in me, in this dust, on earth, as it is in heaven. See, again, we have to live in our nothingness for God to say, okay, get out of my way. If we think we're something, if we think we're important, if we think we're in charge, and I'm talking about, you know, thinking with the mind of Christ. If we think, well, it doesn't matter what the church says, I'm going to do what I want. God can't give us this gift of the divine will. He basically says, you're in your human will. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get. But when we say, I don't want to live in my human will any longer, I want you, Lord, to reign in me. God says, good, let me do this. He says that to Louisa often, let me do. Therefore, continue to trace my acts, continue to trace my steps, continue to trace my pains. Why? To ask for my most holy divine will to come and reign on earth, and my pain shall be soothed. So think of that. Every time you say, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, you're soothing Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to Louisa in volume 3, April 23rd, 1900. He says, Louisa, oil from your body is going to soothe me. But he says, the oil that comes from my children in the divine will soothe the church and the world. Gee, that's what Jesus is saying. Let this happen. My pain shall be soothed and shall turn into divine love to shorten the time, to make my divine will known, to make my divine will loved, and to make my divine will reign. Every time you say, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, every time, go through the rounds. May your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. May it reign on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray the rounds, when you wash the dishes, Lord, I wash the dishes so the kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. When you take a walk, Lord Jesus, walk in my walking so your kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. You're soothing Jesus. And he says, you're turning everything into love. You're shortening the time. Remember Jesus said, if the time wasn't shortened, no one would endure what's coming. This is this, right here. Shorten the time and make God's most holy divine will known. Known to who? Known to you. Loved by who? By you. And reign. Reign in who? In you. You want the kingdom to be known, loved, and reign in us on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to get out of the way so that the kingdom can be established. This is going to happen. Let me clue you. It's going to happen. And the more that we do this, the more we are attentive in doing this, the sooner it's going to come. Jesus wanted it yesterday. He's wanting it. He wants it right now. He wants it tomorrow. Let this be done. How is it going to happen? Jesus tells you right here. He says it very, very clearly. He says that you're going to shorten the time. And you're going to know the divine will. And then your family will know it. You're going to love the divine will. And your family will love the divine will. You're going to let the divine will reign in you. And then your family will let the divine will reign in you as well. Jesus says, I, God, shall keep you as refreshment for me. We're soothing Jesus. We're giving him new love. It's his love back to him. And as bearer of the palm, the soothing to my pains. And when I, God, see my acts and my sufferings embittered with pain because of the creature is running away from me, from my most holy divine will, I shall come and take refuge in you. Do you see why Jesus always came out with the interior of Louisa? He wants that with each and every one of us. Are we soothing Jesus? Is Jesus taking refuge in us? Are we really praying the rounds that Jesus taught Louisa? Are we really adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God? Are we repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future? I mean, you have to look at yourself. Are you doing this? And if we are, fiat. If we're not, fiat. Jesus is saying this to us. I shall come and take refuge in you. Why? To soothe me. To embalm my sufferings, to all that has been embittered by pain. You're going to be my refuge. Now we say that to the Blessed Mother, be my refuge. And now Jesus is saying, will you be my refuge? Do you see? You know, we say we want to be in the arms of Jesus, but Jesus wants to be in our arms as well. If you look at Our Lady did. Our Lady held the baby Jesus. You look at Our Lady, she held the body of Christ after he was crucified. God wants to be held. It shows the great humility of God. He comes to us as our food. And he says to us, will you be my food? Will you do the divine will so I can be nourished by you? Can you imagine the humility, how humble our God is? Would you be willing to become my food, Jesus says? You will be my food and I will be your food. You will rest in my arms and I will rest in your arms. And then this is why he says, you know, he came to earth for a bride. Will you be my spouse, Jesus says. Our Lord loves us very much. He's got great plans for mankind. And he's giving us a hint of what he's going to do. As you read, as you study, as you put into practice these truths, watch what God's going to do. He says unheard of prodigies will be experienced by the little children, the holy divine will. He loves us dearly. He's asking us, would you be willing to work with Louisa, to give your fiat as Louisa gave her fiat? Would you be willing to read and to study as Louisa read and studied the volumes? Would you be willing to know what this is about? Not to skim through it like, well, I read it. No, you've got to know this. Know this, love this, possess this. Let the divine will reign in you on earth, he says, as the saints possess it in heaven. Are you willing to do this? And when we say fiat, when we say yes, Lord, he says, good, good. Let me see how much you want. Do you want 30, 60, or 100-fold? Let me see, because I'm going to give you what you want. So again, this is the only time that we can really love God, as St. Teresa says. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to see God as he is. We're going to fall on our faces to adore him. He is so beautiful. He is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so loving. That we will not be able to stand in his presence unless he says, stand. And he's going to say, come to me. As he said to the apostles, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. God's got great plans. We'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.